Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to read the verse that is the focus of the message. We're going to read that verse first. And you're thinking, well, Brother Barry, why are we reading that verse first in the message? Because everything in the message points to that verse. Okay? So, 1 Kings chapter 17, look at verse 24. You know the record. This is the story of the woman, that the widow woman that Elijah was staying with, her son dies. Elijah brings him back to life. Well, God brings him back to life. And in verse 24, the woman says to Elijah, now by this, by what? Knowing that my son who was dead is now alive. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God. And this is what I want you to focus on, ladies and gentlemen. And the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. The word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. That is very, very important. Because we can speak the word, we can proclaim the word, but until the word is manifested, no one will be able to say, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Are you following me? Okay. Now, we're going to read the chapter, we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 17. Everything we read, ladies and gentlemen, is going to point us to why the widow woman was able to tell Elijah that now I know you are a man of God because the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. The word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Before we get into the chapter, I want to share some observations from an article that I read that compared Christianity to Islam. Christians and Muslims disagree on whether Christ was divine and whether Muhammad was a prophet. We disagree on that point, whether Christ was divine and Muhammad was a prophet. However, in the tenets of their beliefs, in the tenets of the Christian belief, in the tenets of the Muslim belief, they agree that there are only two genders. They agree that euthanasia is an abomination. They agree that sex outside of marriage is a sin. Homosexuality is an abomination. And that first graders should not learn about gay sex. Christians, in their belief system, in what they believe, and Muslims, in what they believe, they stand toe to toe on these issues. Toe to toe on these issues. Christians and Muslims agree that mankind's purpose is to glorify God and obey His commandments. The Bible tells us we are to glorify God, okay, and keep His commandments. Christians and Muslims disagree with the notion that a person can define his or her own concept of existence. In other words, we disagree with anyone who says that this is my truth. Muslims and Christians both disagree with anyone who says this is my truth. They also disagree with anyone who's saying, this is the meaning of life for me. Okay? Christians and Muslims, they also disagree with the present presentation of human life. In other words, they will tell you that abortion is an abomination. Christians and Muslims. That is part of the tenets of belief for both religions. Okay? Christians and Muslims in their belief systems resist the progressive agenda. They resist the progressive agenda. Because the progressive agenda goes back to everything that I read about two genders, euthanasia, sex outside of marriage. It goes on and on and on. The progressive agenda, again, my truth trumps everyone else's truth. Okay? But there is a difference in Christianity and Islam, Muslims, that in my opinion stands out like a sore thumb. Okay? And I'm going to preface what I'm going to say with three words, as a body. Okay? So I'm looking at Christianity as a group, and I'm looking at Islam as a group. Muslims as a group, okay? So don't get offended by what I'm about to say unless you need to get offended. Okay? As a body, Muslims are monolithic. They speak with one voice. They are uncompromising in their devotion to Allah and His teachings, and most are willing to die for Him. I'm going to read that again. As a body, Muslims are monolithic. They speak with one voice. They are uncompromising in their devotion to Allah and His teachings, and most are willing to die for Him. As a body, Christians are none of these. As a body, Christians are not monolithic. They don't speak with one voice. If they spoke with one voice, why do we have all these different denominations? Are you following me? Christians, they will compromise on their devotion to God and Jesus and what is taught in the Bible. They are willing to compromise. But Brother Barry, what do you mean they are willing to compromise? Dare I say this? Please hold on to the tomatoes. A woman's right to choose to kill a child in the womb. Christians know that the Bible says life is sacred. Christians know that the Bible says life begins at conception. Barry, you mean there are Christians who don't know that? Obviously. If they're willing to say that a woman has the right to kill a baby in the womb, evidently they don't see that child as life. Okay? Christians also are not willing to stand feet planted firmly on the ground when it comes to what the Bible teaches. They are not. Ladies and gentlemen, we argue among ourselves about what the Bible teaches. You follow me? We argue among ourselves. We're not speaking with one voice. We argue about what the Bible says. And we get around it by saying, well, that's the way you interpret it. And that's the way you look at it. No, it has nothing to do with it. The Bible says what the Bible says. We are the ones who have to get in line with what the Bible says. And we know that, and I'm sure there are some, there always are, but we know that as a body, Christians are not willing to die for what they believe. They're not willing to die for what they believe. Especially if you can give them more money to get in line with what society believes. Remember, everything that I am saying points to what the widow woman said to Elijah. Now I know that you are a man of God, because the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Okay? A couple of more observations that I have after reading this. We know that Christians are not respected like Muslims. We know this. It's not a shock. It's not a surprise. Because you never hear anything in the media, anyone in the media, talking about Muslims and the religion of Islam like they do Christians. Can I get a witness? We know this. This is not a surprise. This is not new information. Because, see, people know that Muslims, you can only push them so far, they would draw a line in the sand and then they're coming after you. Christians are not like that. And we shouldn't be. When we draw a line in the sand, we are drawing a line in the sand because we're trying to save you. We're trying to give you a new life. We're trying to bring you into the kingdom of God when we draw a line in the sand. We're not trying to kill you. We're trying to bring you to God when we draw a line in the sand. And ladies and gentlemen, too few of us are willing to draw a line in the sand. To tell people we love, you are living in sin. To tell people we love, you are not supposed to be doing that. To tell people we love, if you don't change what you are doing, if you don't repent, heaven is not going to be your final destination. That is most Christians. Okay? Have I said anything that you are surprised with so far? Okay. Christians have a reality problem. Okay? Gary Carpenter is currently doing a teaching on Malachi. And he said America continues its downward trend because there is no power demonstrated in such a watered down gospel. There is no power in the church. There is no power in the church. Most Christians are not living the life, they are not living the reality they were born to live. And the message tonight is just one more glimpse into that reality, into that life. Ladies and gentlemen, you are here in 2023 for a reason. And it's not to get a bigger house. It's not to get a nicer car. It is not to build a bigger bank account, and it's not to build your brand. You are a child of God. You are here to bring souls into the kingdom. You are here to bring souls into the kingdom. You are here to make a real difference. And it's not pleasant having to make a real difference, because you make people mad who don't want to be changed, including some of your Christian brothers and sisters. The goal tonight is pointing us to, now I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, we're going to stop right there. The word Elijah means, my God is Lord. My God is Lord. Okay? Remember, what is our goal tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Is to get to the point where we understand why the widow woman said, now I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Okay? This is where we're going. This is going to help us get there. Elijah the Tishbite, his name means, my God is Yahweh. Or my God is Yah. Y-A-H, which means my God is Lord. Okay? Who was of the inhabitants of Gilead and said unto Ahab, stop. Before verse 1, chapter 17, Elijah does not appear in the Bible. Do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? Elijah appears in the Bible because of Ahab and what Ahab was doing. Do you see this? Now, what made Ahab so bad? Well, chapter 16, look at verse 28. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Verse 30. Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Do you see that? Now, you want to know what makes that even worse, ladies and gentlemen? Go back to verse 25 in chapter 16. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. Do you see how wicked Ahab is? His father was so wicked that there was none more wicked than him before he became king. Ahab is worse. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. He caused Israel to sin. He caused Israel to sin. I'm not going to jump on this subject tonight, but I want you to think about something. It is the king of the nation that caused the nation to sin. The analogy does not work in this country in terms of Biden or the president causing the nation to sin. The analogy, ladies and gentlemen, is the pulpit. The pulpit causing the body of Christ to sin. That's the analogy. Can't get into it tonight, but it's very clear. When the pulpit is not following God, the flock doesn't follow God either. The flock follows the pulpit. Are you following me? Okay. So Ahab, back to verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing, as if it was no big deal for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. The king of Israel serving Baal and worshipping him. Not only did he serve Baal, worship Baal, he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. A grove is another deity, another idol that was supposed to be Baal's mate, his spouse. Okay? Did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In comes Elijah. Because of the wickedness of this king. Okay? Now, before I go further, First King is divided into four pieces. You have verse 1 is one piece. Verses 2 through 8 is another piece. Verse 2 through 7 is another piece. Verse 8 through 16 is another piece. And then verses 17 through 24 is the final piece. So there are four sections. Okay? And we're going to see this. Elijah, back to verse 1, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord of God liveth, as the Lord of God liveth. This is the first time, ladies and gentlemen, this phrase is used. As the Lord God of Israel liveth. And who is it said to? The most wicked king that has ever ruled Israel. As the Lord God of Israel liveth. Ladies and gentlemen, remember the comparison I made with Muslims and Christians? As a body, Christians are not going to draw a line in the sand and say, as God Almighty lives, because that's a declaration that you're about to fight. That you're about, you draw a line in the sand and you don't care who comes at you, you are ready to fight. As the Lord God of Israel lives. And then he says, before whom I stand. Before whom I stand. So Elijah goes up to the king of Ahab, the most wicked king ever to rule over Israel. And he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand. In other words, Elijah had been in the presence of God, figuratively, because the word before means space. He has stood in God's face, at attention, before whom I stand, waiting and ready to get his instructions, waiting to hear what the Lord had to say. And then he says, dew and rain is not going to come for a long, long time. Ladies and gentlemen, as a body, Christians are not willing to say, as the Lord God lives, before whom I stand. In other words, I am only accountable to him. If I hurt your feelings, that's on you. If I upset you, that's on you, because as the Lord God lives, before whom I stand, who I am accountable to. Okay? Remember, where we are going is, now I know that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. You see where we're going? Okay. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. According to my word. Now, drought was a punishment from that God talks about in Deuteronomy when Israel disobeyed and went after other gods. Hold your finger here and go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, look at verse 16. Take heed to yourselves, this is Moses speaking for God, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. And he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord God giveth you. Everything that at that time in history, rain was the absolute most important thing you could have. Because if you didn't have rain, you didn't have crops. If you didn't have crops, you didn't have food to feed the cattle so they can, or food to, you know, feed, you know, your animals, yourself, and you died. So that only happens when the children of Israel started running after other gods. Okay? So Elijah says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. With my mouth, I am speaking the word of the Lord and the will of the Lord. You see where I'm going? Remember, I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Elijah said there will not be dew nor rain these years. And we know from James chapter 5 that the years are 3.5 years. We know that. But according to my word, what is the first common theme that we're seeing in this verse? Elijah's obedience. Elijah's obedience. Because he says, but according to my word, and we know that he was speaking the will of God. So he obeyed because as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, it's not going to rain. According to my word, the word of the Lord that was in his mouth. I know, ladies and gentlemen, I am being awfully redundant tonight, but I'm making a point. I'm making a point. Okay? Let's continue. So now we're done with the first part. So now we're going to get into the second part, which is verses 2 through 7. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The first part of verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Are you seeing? What are we seeing here, ladies and gentlemen? Obedience. Again, obedience. The second time, we're seeing obedience. He obeyed the word of the Lord, so he went. Okay? Let's continue. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Verse 10. I'm again being redundant again. So he arose and went. Are you seeing the pattern that's getting us to, now I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth? The third time he's demonstrated obedience. So the word of the Lord came to him, so he arose and went. He obeyed the word of the Lord. Okay? And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Fear not. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because the word of the Lord in his mouth is truth. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I have a question. Did the cruse of oil fail? No. Did the meal waste? No. Why? Because the word of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, in his mouth was truth. You have someone who is sick, and they come to you and say, Barry, I don't know what's going on, but will you pray for me? Will you reach out to God so that I can be healed? If the word of the Lord in my mouth is truth, guess what's going to happen? The healing is going to manifest. Ouch. That hurt. That hurt. Because see, it has happened sporadically, but it's not a done deal every time Barry prays and thanks God for someone's deliverance. It's not a done deal every time, which means that there is not enough of the truth of the word living in Barry that he can speak and bring it to pass. Are you following me? Faith comes by what? Hearing comes by what? The word of God. Okay? You all must understand something. Before I deliver a message like this, I have already been spanked. Okay? I have already been spanked. So I'm just sharing. You know, being the wonderful, loving person that I am. Okay. Verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by whom? Elijah. Obedience. To speak the word of the Lord when it's there, when it looks like there's no possible way that the word, that what he said could come to pass. Obedience, ladies and gentlemen, to speak the word of God no matter what you see, no matter what you hear. What does the word of God say? And are you willing to say, as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, this is what's going to happen. You with me? Praise God. Praise God. Now we'll get into the last part of the chapter. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son? Doesn't that sound like something that we would hear today? That bad things are happening to my children, to my children because of my sins that I have committed in the past. You know the Bible said, I mean, he will execute judgment until the third and fourth generation. Yeah, if you take it out of context. Ladies and gentlemen, God does not punish your children for what you do. Okay? God doesn't punish your children for what you do. God doesn't punish you at all. You punish yourself by getting out of his will and making yourself available to the enemy of the soul. But we have heard this before. Are you punishing my son because of something that I did? I mean, I could say that about Stephen. God, did you make Stephen better looking at me because of something that I did? Did you make him more handsome than me because of something that I did? Verse 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let the soul, this child's soul come into him again. Verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Why did the Lord hear the voice of the word Elijah? Because of all the times he had been obedient, 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 obedient. Do you think that if you are obeying the Word of God, the Bible, do you think that if you are walking hand in hand with your Father, that He is not going to answer your prayers? Really? Do you really believe that? He will move heaven. He will move hell to answer your prayers. Don't doubt how much your Father loves you. Don't doubt what He's willing to do to bless you. Don't doubt what He's willing to do to give you everything that you need that so you can serve Him and bring in souls for the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever doubt that. I mean, we can look at the world right now, at our country right now, and we can maybe have some questions about whether God would do that or not. Stop it. Stop it. As the Lord God lives, before whom I stand. Say this with me. As the Lord God lives, before whom I stand. I love Stephen. He knows I love him. But it's before I stand before the Lord. I stand. It's before whom I stand. When you have that mindset, when you get to that place, ladies and gentlemen, that when you stand before the Lord and when you have others who are not standing before the Lord, that is not your problem. They have a problem with the Lord. They will have to answer to Him. One of the best verses in the Bible to help me understand what my responsibilities are when it comes to living for God and living in the kingdom. Remember, Paul says, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So you are either planting or watering. That's all you do. That's your job. Plant and water. What are you planting and watering? The Word of God in people's lives. That's your only responsibility. You're not responsible for the results. You're not responsible for the results. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, verse 22. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah says, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. That verse follows Elijah raising her son from the dead. That verse follows the word being spoken and then the reality of the word manifesting. You see why everything so far was leading up to this one verse? The word was spoken and it manifested. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because of Elijah's relationship with the Lord in his obedience to the Lord. And I know that I'm really just focusing on obedience, but you know, faith plays a role in being obedient. You're not obedient to someone you don't trust. You're not obedient to someone you don't believe in. So we know that. I'm just not jumping, I'm not focusing on that right now. I'm focusing on just doing what God tells you to do. Just do what God tells you to do. That's what makes the word of the Lord in your mouth truth. Because you are doing what he tells you to do. Okay? Let's wrap this up. Let's look at two examples in the New Testament. Okay? Mark chapter 16, verse passages that you know like the back of your hand. Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Jesus, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? So he has given them an instruction. He that believeth is baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He's given them a promise that what's going, if you follow this instruction, this is what's going to happen. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Remember when I said earlier that we are not responsible for the results? Is that what we just saw there, right? We're not responsible for results. We're responsible for delivering the message. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. He sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20. What did Jesus tell them? In verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? Verse 20, and they did what? They went forth. Obedience. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. They went forth and preached. The word of the Lord in their mouth was truth. And what's the common thread we've been seeing all night? Obedience. Let's see obedience one more time. John chapter 14. Again, it's a verses, passages you're very familiar with, ladies and gentlemen. But I want you to see how obedience plays a role in some of what we read coming to pass. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. It's a promise that Jesus is making. He says, the ones who really believe on me, the ones as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand. Verily, verily, I say unto you, those who truly believe that, those who truly believe on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask In my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in me. If you ask anything, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Whatsoever you shall ask, if you ask anything, when the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth, Jesus says, I will do it. I will do it. That verse in 1 Kings chapter 17, 24, I read that verse and I remember clearly how it just almost like knocked me over, because, and I'm willing to say this, ladies and gentlemen, because I know you love me and I know you'll understand, it nearly knocked me over because I did not see enough Barry in it. I did not see enough Barry in it. In the days to come, I am going to see more Barry in it. You are going to see more of you in it in the days to come. And it starts with simple obedience. Having faith that the God you serve, the God you love, lives. He lives in you. Praise God. He lives in you. And you stand before him ready to receive the instructions that he wants to give you to touch the world. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, what I have just said to you does not happen with every Christian. You have to put yourself in a position with God in order for the word of the Lord to be truth in your mouth. Okay? I'm going to read my final paragraph. The truth that we speak will become the reality that we see when we believe that there is only one God who lives in us, and he is our God and our Father. The truth that we speak will become the reality that we see when we stand before him, waiting for his instructions, and then we boldly speak what he has given to us with confidence and authority. The thing that is supposed to set Christianity apart from any other religion is that when we speak, heaven moves and things happen on this world, in this world. All of us have our beliefs. We can tell you that we know we believe this, we believe that. But when the rubber hits the road, oh, that's an old commercial. But when the rubber hits the road and then you see God, power and authority manifested, that's what separates Christians from any other religion. We have power and authority that can come into manifestation in this realm, in the natural, and it does one simple thing. It gives glory to God. It gives him glory when we heal. When we speak words of healing and it happens, it glorifies God. That's what makes the difference. We may share a lot of beliefs with Muslims, but the one thing that stands apart for us, the word of the Lord in our mouth, is truth. Amen.